God is good. I'm going to say that one more time. God is good. All the time. God is good. Singing sounded exceptionally well this morning. Just singing the songs that His name is the highest. His name is the greatest. His name is Jesus. And then the hymn at Calvary. Just thinking about the words that we were singing. The years that we spend in vanity and pride. Aren't you glad this morning and thankful for God's mercy and His grace and His love, really? And we think back of all that God has done for us. It is fitting that we worship Him. It is fitting that we praise Him. It is fitting that we just take time to think about the goodness of God. And all kinds of things are going on in the world today. God never changes. God is still good. He's still good all the time. And that's one thing that we just can never forget, never lose sight of, the goodness of God. And even though we may be going through difficult times, God still remains good. He will not change. The Bible tells us, I am God and I change not. So this morning, as we look into the Word of God, that just focus on Jesus this morning. Focus on the cross. And that's why Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. And to be your Redeemer, your Savior, to be your peace, to be your provider, to be your healer, to be your calm in the midst of a storm. Focus and think about Jesus this morning. And as we take a look into our scripture text this morning, we're going to look at some verses out of the Gospel of John, and probably a fairly familiar passage to you. The setting and what happened prior to this, what is Jesus is saying here, and what He wants to say to us today. So if you want to look in your Bibles at John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24 or follow, we find these words. Now Thomas, called Didymus, was one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in His hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into His side, I will not believe it." A week later, His disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See My hands. Reach out your hand and put it into My side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to Him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen Me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Ending our reading there. Father, it is with great joy that we come to You here this morning in this place, in this house of prayer, into this house of worship. And we want to invite You into our midst by the Holy Spirit. God, that You would help declare what is on Your heart today for us to hear. give us ears to hear what you would say to us. Not only then be hearers, but doers of what you speak into our hearts. We commit ourselves to you, ask this all be done for your glory and honor alone, and we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. We want to continue this theme that we began last week about the God who was, still is. And last week we talked about him being a waymaker, and today we're going to talk about him being the miracle worker. And sometime while you're having your devotions, or sometimes maybe you might have a moment, encourage you to get a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, write down the things that you truly believe. Not things that you think or things that you may speculate about, but things that you truly believe. Those things that are not negotiable. Those things that you will absolutely not compromise. They can be things about pertaining to life, but especially the things that you believe about God. Now, we hear, we read about God. We read what the Bible tells us. But do we believe what we read? Do we believe what we hear? All of those things in our life, there will be times where what you hear, what you believe, what is the bedrock of things that you will not compromise will be challenged, will be tested. I guarantee it. And so, as we look at this, as we look at these verses, we see in verse 30 and 31 that Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. And if you go back into the chapter 21, the last verse of chapter 21 says that there were so many things that Jesus did that if they were written down, the books, we could not contain all the books of the things that Jesus did. But then the latter verse says, but these things are written. These things are written down so that we may believe. That we may believe what? That we may believe that what the Bible is said, what the Bible says, what we read on these pages is absolute truth. If they are not truth, then God is just like every other human being. But God is God. God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we have absolute truth. And we see this. He says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, isn't that the essence of Peter's confession back in Matthew 16? When Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? Jesus' response was, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. And Jesus said, man didn't tell you that. Man did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven did. And when we get revelation of Christ, when we get revelation of Jesus, when we get revelation of Scripture, and there are times where I read the Bible, and to be honest with you, I lay the Bible down, and I think to myself, what did you just read? Anybody else like that, or am I just by myself? Well, praise God, I'm not alone. Some of you are like this, like, hey, it's okay. But there are times where you open and you begin to read and it just begins to speak to you. And you keep reading and it keeps speaking. You're getting revelation of what it's saying. And when you get revelation of what it's saying, that is something that you will not compromise then. Once you have revelation of a truth out of the Word of God, you're not going to negotiate it. You're not going to compromise it. This is what he says. These things are written so that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life. I read in Scripture that that's why Jesus came. He came to give life to you. He came to impart life to you, everlasting life, eternal life, a life free of burdens, a life free of stress, a life free of discouragement. Absolutely not. But he came to give you eternal life. And he came to give you life that when you go through things, he will not abandon you. And so we have these things. We have these things written down that encourage us, that strengthen us, that enables us to stand on the Word of God. If you go back into 1 John chapter 5, we find very similar wording in verse 13. John writes and he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. When we read the scripture, we get revelation of what it's saying. We do what it says, that if I confess Jesus Christ with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. You shall be saved. Period. Nothing that the devil tells you ought to be able to rob that truth, that revelation from you. That you are a child of God, co-heir with Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, you know this. You believe this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Wow. That's some powerful stuff. Confidence in knowing God hears. Knowing if God hears, we have the things that we ask. So when Jesus was asked the question back in John chapter 6, what must we do to do the works of God? Jesus did not begin a list of things that we have to do. You need to go to church, you need to read your Bible, you need to give, you need to witness, you need to this, you need to this, you need to this. Jesus simply said, you must believe on the one whom the Father sent. Believe on the Son of God. Believe. Put your faith, put your confidence in him. My chief duty, my act of worship, what I am called to do is to believe everything this book says about Jesus Christ. That I will not compromise. That you should not compromise. That the church should not compromise. And many of the things that Jesus declares, many of the things that Jesus stands for, is contrary to some of the things that's going on in the culture today. We cannot allow the culture to change us. We must be steadfast, unmovable in what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. And if the culture wants to believe that, so be it. I choose to believe the Word of God. This is the bedrock. This is the foundation on which I stand. And I will absolutely not compromise what I believe. Franklin Graham said on a brief commercial on TV talking about the Bible, the Word of God. He says, I don't understand it all. And who does? God does, but who among us can say, hey, we're God, I understand everything in there. I don't understand it all, but he said, I believe it all. I believe what the Bible says. Now, one of the things about Jesus is the fact that he performed miracles. He performed mighty works while he was here on the earth. We just read that from our text. Jesus did many other miracles or mighty works. Miracles were associated with Jesus. God did many miracles even before the appearance of Jesus at his birth. God did many miracles in the Old Testament. Miracles are connected, are associated with God, with Jesus. They're inseparable. The Bible begins to me by a miracle. When God said, let there be, and there was, that's a miracle. How do we explain that? Well, there was a sonic boom, some say. We evolved from things. My Bible says God created male and female. God created all that we see from nothing by merely speaking it. You mean to tell me you believe that? I believe that absolutely. So they're inseparable. His birth was a miracle. How else do you explain a very young teenage girl, getting pregnant, giving birth to a son, and his name was called Jesus? How do you explain that? The power of the Most High. How can a girl become pregnant without sexual intercourse? How does that happen? It's a miracle. Jesus performed, his ministry was filled with miracles. And when we think about that, you can just probably, the things that he did probably just begin to run through your mind. All the lives that Jesus touched, all the lives that Jesus affected. So his ministry was filled with miracles. And we would have to admit this morning that his rising from the dead was certainly a miracle. His rising from the dead was a miracle. Now, I know, being involved in the church a long time, that sometimes topics can bring a hesitation, can bring attention, can bring kind of apprehension into the church. And there are certain topics and themes or subjects that we don't talk about much. Once in a while we do. And why is that? Is it because we don't understand it completely? Is it because that we can't explain everything? We can't explain how God does things or why God does things the way he does. God has a purpose in everything he does. God has a purpose in the way he does it. And it doesn't always fit your box or my box or your way or my way. It doesn't always do that. But we need to be still and let God be God. Isn't God going to do what is very best for you in your life? I believe that. But yet, there's this cloud that hangs over us that we kind of are reluctant to talk about things, certain things, when we need to be looking at them. We know we may have been believed for a God for a miracle. And we haven't received it yet. Many times, you know, when we think about miracles, often we think about healing. And I'm sure that each one of us know an individual that may have needed a miracle, prayed for healing, and nothing happened. How do you explain that? I can't. I can't explain everything about God. I can't explain why God, again, does things the way he does it or doesn't. I can't explain that. I put that in a folder of, I don't know. And some of you may even, some people, not you, but some people may think, why are you preaching about miracles when you lost a wife and a son? Why? Why are you talking about that? You didn't receive one. I didn't receive one here in this life, but I know where my wife and my son are. Do not tell me that God doesn't know what he's doing. I believe God is sovereign. I believe God has all power, is all power. I believe that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God cannot do. But he doesn't always act and move at my beck and call. He's not a genie in a lamp that we rub and say, God, can you give me 3 wishes? It's all about me. What is it about him? But I believe that God is a God of mercy and grace. I choose to believe that God is faithful. I choose to believe that God is concerned about me. You, he's concerned about me. He's concerned about what we go through. He's gone through it all for us. We have a high priest who can identify with everything that you will ever encounter. Yet he was without sin. So whatever we go through, he's already been there. He's already done it. He's been victorious over it. And he will see you through it. He will see me through it, that we can overcome it as well. Do you believe that? Okay. Jesus said, the things I do, it's not me doing it. The works that you see me do, it is God working through me. It is God the Father working through me. And that power has not diminished down through the ages. You know, in our text, it says that in verse 20, that previous verses, that Jesus in his first appearance presented himself, peace be with you, and it says the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Thomas wasn't there. But then when they gathered together again, they told Thomas what had happened, who they saw. And it says there, we have seen the Lord. Now, how do you think they told Thomas that? Just a few verses prior, they said that they were overjoyed seeing the Lord. And I don't think here in this verse where they told Thomas they saw him, they just said, oh, hey, Thomas, we forgot to tell you. Hey, we saw the Lord the other day. Just to let you know, just to get you updated, just, he was here, you know, and just so you know. Thomas said, I don't, you know, you can tell me whatever, but I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. Seeing is believing, right? That's the natural way. If I see it, I believe it. 1 week later, same place, locked doors, boom, there's Jesus. Peace be with you. That's probably the right thing to say when you appear in a locked room and you're not there. You just say, boom, peace be with you. Just to let you know. Thomas, can you just hear? Can you just hear the grace and mercy in his voice? Hey, Thomas, here's my hands. Go ahead and put your finger in there. Touch them. Look at them. Thomas, by the way, go ahead, put your hand in my side. And at that moment, Thomas dropped. My Lord and my God. Jesus said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who believe who have not seen. Can I ask you just a question? Isn't that what faith is? Isn't that what faith is? Isn't that what the Bible says about faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Not seen. It's not faith is because you see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The assurance of things not seen. That's what faith is. We trust God. We trust in the Lord. We trust in who He is. We trust in what He says. He confronts Thomas. You know, back in Acts chapter 3, there was an encounter by Peter and John as they went into the temple to pray, that there was a lame man sitting there, and he was begging. The man was over 40 years, and that's what he did. He begged. And of course, Peter and John approached him, and of course, he did what he did. That was his job. You know, ask for alms. And they said, Peter said, we don't have money to give you, but do we have something better to give you? We got something that money will not buy you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise and walk. He took his hand and the man leaped. The man leaped and started running around. He never knew what it was to walk. And they went into the temple and that caused a stir when they saw the lame man running around the church. Would that cause a little disturbance here? But then Peter asked a question. He asked a unique question to the people. He says, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? They had nothing to do with it. That's what Peter was saying. We had nothing to do with this. This was not by our ability or by our power that this man now is walking and running around. Why do you stare at us? He said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. That's kind of straightforward, isn't it? You killed the author of life. There's not a period there. It says, but God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of this. And by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that he has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Wow. Wow. In Matthew 15, 31, it says that the people were amazed that the things that Jesus did, and they praised the God of Israel. They praised the God of Israel. You know, Peter didn't say, yeah, you know, hey, thank you for your acknowledgement. Thank you. You know, we did a good thing here. He knew who to give the glory and honor to. And there is a physical application to all of this. All the miracles that Jesus did. But what do you think the mute guy talked about after he received the ability to speak? What do you think he talked about? You think he was people said, "Hey, you need to keep quiet. Do you think he had anything to say? I think he had plenty to say. And where do you think the lame man walked to? Where do you think he walked to? Where do you think he went? What did the blind man focus on? If you were blind all your life and God healed you, what would be the thing that you would focus on? I know, husband, you would say your beautiful wife. Amen. Guys, you better speak up now. Or where did the leper go once he was cleansed? I mean, he was isolated. He was only supposed to stay in a certain area. But once he was cleansed, where'd he go? I imagine he went everywhere talking about the goodness of God. I believe all of these ones did. There's a spiritual side, there's a physical side, excuse me, but there is a spiritual side too. It's called the miracle of rebirth. The miracle of being born again by the Spirit of God. We have nothing to do with that except believe and accept by faith. Receive it as a gift from God. We were raised from the dead into a new life. Spiritually dead. God raised us and given us a new life. The old is gone. He is a new creation. All before us is new. We were raised to a new life. Our eyes have been opened to the truth. Satan cannot blind us any longer. Now, he can pervert things and he can try to deceive us, but our eyes have been opened to the truth that I am a sinner. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. But I found mercy at Calvary, and I have new life in him. My eyes are seeing things differently. I'm cleansed from the disease, the leprosy of sin. Not that I have to battle it. I'm no longer a slave to it. But by the help of the Holy Spirit and the strength of the Spirit of God, I can resist it. I don't yield my members to unrighteousness. I yield them to righteousness. I yield them to God the Father. I'm able to walk in the light of the gospel. I'm able to walk in the good news. That good news is God is still a miracle worker. God is still saving individuals. God is still setting people free. In closing, Luke 4:18. This has always been a verse that I love to hold to and look at and read. And Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he, God, has anointed me to preach good news. The good news is there is a way to heaven. Jesus is the good news. There is hope for the hopeless. There is strength for the weak. There is comfort for the comfortless. That is the good news today. And he also said, he's anointed me to give sight to the blind, bind up the brokenhearted, set captives free, and to deliver those being oppressed. The world is caving in on you. Life is becoming heavy. Decisions, this and that, and whatever else it may be. Jesus came to deliver from that oppression. How's he do that? We ask him, and that we believe that he can. So my question to you is this morning, is there a need in your heart? Is there a need in your life? That you need God to do something divine in your life. I cannot promise instant answers. God is not a microwave God. You put him in for 30 seconds and out it comes. I don't promise that. But I do promise you, when you come to him, he will meet you. He will be like the prodigal son. When you make a decision to come back to God, he will run to meet you. And he will celebrate. There will be a great celebration. But you have to come to him. And you have to ask. And we must believe that God is able to do what he says he can do. Father, we are so grateful for this time today. We are so grateful, God, for your presence. That's in your presence there is fullness of joy. God, the Bible tells us that in your presence there's a power to heal. But many, in one location, you weren't able to do many things because of unbelief. Jesus, even you're dealing with the Father. And you said all things are possible to them that believe. And the Father said, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief. God, help me when it's hard. Help me when I have to decide whether to hold on or let go. Jesus, help me in those times. Help me in that moment. Help me to hold tight to you. That you are my healer. You are my provider. You are my peace and my joy. You are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. You are still able to perform miracles. And Father, we just thank you today for your love and care and concern for your people. And Lord, my prayer is simply anyone that is struggling today would just come to you and cast that care on you. We commit this to you, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.